You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
I'm Jason Wirt.
This is USA Radio News.
Tonight, you don't want to miss the premiere of The Slap on NBC.
A great new drama about how even in the most normal family, one event can change everything forever.
Yeah, and that event is a slap.
Yes.
And check out the cast in this show. Peter Sarsgaard, Zachary Quinto, Uma Thurman.
There's a lot to love in The Slap.
Yeah, the critics agree. Vanity Fair calls The Slap one of the best new shows on TV.
And they would be right.
Yep.
It's the perfect fit for the all-new NBC Thursday.
It's going to be an amazing new night of drama. So don't miss the premiere of The Slap, followed by The Blacklist, and then Allegiance, tonight on NBC.
Stocks are higher at the open of the word of a ceasefire agreement in Ukraine. Investors are also digesting weak retail sales figures for January and a rise in jobless claims. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 are all ahead in early trading. President Obama is citing, quote, enormous progress in the fight against Ebola.
Liberia has seen the best progress. Sierra Leone is moving in the right direction. Our focus now is getting to zero, because as long as there's even one case of Ebola that's active out there, risks still exist.
In a White House event, Obama said the U.S. has risen to the challenge. He noted that the U.S. has led the international response to the Ebola crisis through a policy of sound silence, not fear. Obama said he is bringing back most of the nearly 1,400 U.S. troops who were deployed to West Africa to help battle the deadly virus. About 100 American troops will remain. The president says the U.S. is in a unique position.
Whenever and wherever a disaster or a disease strikes, the world looks to us to lead. And because of extraordinary people, we have risen to the challenge.
President Obama praised the many people who have helped in the fight against Ebola.
Because of your extraordinary work, we have made enormous progress in just a few months. More than 1,500 of our troops have been able to return. Today I'm announcing that by April 30th, all but 100 who will remain to support the ongoing response will also be able to come home.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
And before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows that temperature is currently 32 degrees at 12:05. Today it's going to be cloudy with snow showers throughout the early afternoon, a high of 37 degrees. Tonight it starts to clear up, but it'll be windy and much colder with a low of just 6 degrees. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of only 18 degrees and a low of 5. For Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with intermittent clouds and a chance of snow with a high of 31 degrees and a low around 11. And for Sunday, it'll be cloudy with a high of just 17 degrees and a low of absolute 0 degrees. The cold will continue straight through to Monday, just in time for more snow on Tuesday. On today's program, I'll be talking about why a Girl Scout may have a better social media marketing plan than your business does, three tips to meet your customers' expectations on social media, seven ways to nail a phone interview, four rules for success that differ from the ones your parents followed, why Kevin O'Leary on Shark Tank is so mean, and seven startup metrics all entrepreneurs must track. All this and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business.
Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is up 57.22 to 17,919.36. The NASDAQ up 37.17 to 4,838.14. S&P 500 up 13.52 to 2,081.67. Oil is up $1.59 to $50.43 per barrel. Gold is up $5.60 to $1,225.20 per ounce. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot. It's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Herndon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well.
Nightly News with Brian Williams.
No, it's not, at least not for the next 6 months anyway. Brian Williams is on a six-month unpaid suspension from NBC Nightly News for misremembering and consequently misreporting the events surrounding his time in Iraq back in 2003, where he stated that his helicopter had been shot down by an RPG. In the interim, Lester Holt will be sitting in for Williams. Lester also hosts Dateline NBC Weekend Today, and he anchors the weekend edition of Nightly News. This all really comes down now to a credibility issue for Williams and for NBC News. One of the things that most news organizations have to rely on is their credibility, their level of trust. Back in the 80s, or in the 70s and 80s, Walter Cronkite was described as the most trusted man in America. And for any news anchor, that's exactly what you want to be, trusted. But now with Brian Williams misrepresenting the facts, not just once or twice, but seemingly over a period of about 12 to 13 years, it'll be hard to see whether or not he can come back and regain that audience. A shout out to my broadcasting professors, Mark Mills, Brad Nason, and Rick Terry. They all taught us that you never become the story. Your job is to just report it and then get out of the way and let the facts be what they are. So NBC now has to stop apologizing, because it seems like this, you know, and every week we play the Brenda Lee apology song, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, NBC has to stop apologizing and move forward. Every news program for the past 3 or 4 days has had some form of an apology about Brian's actions. At this point, it's time to just shut up and get on with the news. And then when Brian Williams does come back, it's done with very little fanfare. Just put him in the chair and have him report the news. And hopefully both Brian Williams, who has been told by NBC management that he will get a second chance, can come back, regain the public trust, and have a successful career. When we're talking about newsmen, and this is obviously a very serious story to report and very sad story to report, last night, if you were watching CBS, you noticed that Scott Pelley interrupted the broadcast at around 10 p.m. to report that CBS's 60 Minutes correspondent Bob Simon had been killed in a car crash. Bob Simon was a longtime 60 Minutes correspondent who covered most major overseas conflicts and news stories since the late 1960s during a five-decade career in journalism. He was involved in a car crash last night. He was 73 years old. Simon was among a handful of elite journalists, a reporter's reporter, according to his executive producer, whose assignments took him from the Vietnam War to Oscar-nominated movie Selma. He spent years doing foreign reporting for CBS News, particularly from the Middle East, where he was held captive for more than a month in Iraq 2 decades ago. Bob Simon was a giant of broadcast journalism and a dear friend to everyone in the CBS News family, said CBS News President David Rhodes in a statement. "We are all shocked by this tragic and sudden loss." A town car in which Simon was a passenger Wednesday hit another car, stopped at a Manhattan traffic light, and then slammed into metal barriers separating traffic lanes. Simon and the town car's driver were taken to a hospital, where Simon was then pronounced dead. Vietnam is where he first began covering warfare, and he gave his first-hand reporting from virtually every major battlefield around the world since. Simon had been contributing to 60 Minutes on a regular basis since 1996. He was also a correspondent for 60 Minutes, too. He was preparing a report on the Ebola virus and the search for a cure for this Sunday's 60 Minutes broadcast. He had been working on the project with his daughter Tanya Simon, a producer with whom he collaborated on several stories for 60 Minutes. Simon joined CBS News in 1967 as a reporter and assignment editor, covering campus unrest and inner-city riots. He also worked as CBS's Tel Aviv Bureau from 1977 to 81, and in Washington, D.C. as its Department of State correspondent. Simon's career in war reporting began in Vietnam, and he was on one of the last helicopters out of Saigon when the U.S. withdrew in 1975. At the outset of the Gulf War in January 1991, Simon was captured by Iraqi forces near the Saudi-Kuwait border. CBS said that he and three other members of CBS's news coverage team spent 40 days in Iraqi prisons, an experience Simon wrote about in his book 40 Days. Simon returned to Baghdad in January of 1993 to cover the American bombing of Iraq. Simon won numerous awards, including his fourth Peabody Award and 27 Emmys, along with several other awards during his career. Bob Simon, dead at the age of 73. On to better news, and again, my condolences to the Simon family, because if there was ever, in this industry, when you're in broadcasting, when you're in journalism, you look up to the leaders. And, you know, I've worked in radio, I've worked in television, and it may never be that I will be the host of NBC Nightly News, but you always look up to the professionals in the industry, and one of the gentlemen that I always looked up to was Bob Simon. So sorry to see that he ended so tragically last night in the car accident. Last year, I remember, and if he's listening, I'm just going to put out a shout out to Russ Zabrowski. But last year, I had reported that I was impressed by Russ's daughter, who had texted me using her father's phone, saying, "Hey, Mr. Gano, it's Girl Scout cookie time. Let me know if you want any cookies." And she went on to list all of the different Girl Scout cookies, Do-Si-Dos and Trefoils, Thin Mints, etc. And I remember taking time on the show to explain how creative I thought that was, and I instantly turned around and ordered my three boxes of Trefoils. So, Russ, if you remember, I'm just kind of curious to see how many boxes of cookies Paige sold last year. If you can text me that real quick, I'd appreciate it, because I think there's another Girl Scout who's taken this to a whole different level, and it kind of shows where the youth of America are and how technology is kind of shaping the way business will be done. Now, we're only talking about Girl Scout cookies, but think about how this can impact business down the road. Now, another Girl Scout has taken to her mother's Facebook page to tell all of her mom's friends and contacts that it was also Girl Scout cookie time and that they could place their orders with her through the Facebook page. And sure enough, people started replying back. "Hey, give me three boxes of Thin Mints. Give me three boxes of Trefoils and Do-Si-Dos and things like that." Then she did something that I don't know that we would have ever considered when I was a kid. First of all, the technology didn't even exist back then, but she got on her mother's Twitter account and did the exact same thing. And now you have this global, there's a good chance that this girl is going to be selling cookies all over the world based on her mother's following on Twitter. So here's one Girl Scout uses her father's cell phone to text message requests for orders. And here's another girl that says that is using Facebook and Twitter. So, and I just got a reply from Russ. He wasn't really sure, but he knows it was somewhere around 100 or so. What a creative idea. Instead of going door to door and trying to sell the cookies, to use that social media or the electronic tools available. Great job, girls. And it'll be interesting to see how this Girl Scout using both Facebook and Twitter does. If we can ever find the results of her activities. But how creative is that? And it goes back to the questions and the arguments that we've had on this show over the years of how is your business using social media as it pertains to getting your message out, being current, being relevant. I had a great conversation with a woman from Main Street Hub, which is a social media company, and I'm going to try to get them on the air with us. Because it just seemed like they have their finger on the pulse of what good social media marketing is. And it's a company that will actually do it for you. You give them the information, you give them access to your contact list, and then they will go out and try to build that database even better and keep the content newsworthy and relevant. So I'll try to get those folks on as a guest up in upcoming weeks, and we'll see what they have to say about the impact of social media on business. Also, I'm trying to set up a date either next week or the week after with Ian Church, who's the general manager of Beaverbrook Country Club. He'll be in the studio to discuss different aspects of the golf course and how it can help your business or it can help your family or something like that. A lot of times when you think of a golf course, you're just thinking about a round of golf, or maybe you're thinking about tennis or lounging by the pool. But here, if your organization or business is thinking about creating a golf outing, he'll walk us through the steps on how to do that. If you have a special event, whether it's a fundraiser or a wedding or, you know, any kind of special event, bar mitzvah or something like that, he'll talk to us about the catering options that are available. So it'll be interesting to see from the general manager's side the different options that are available to us in using the Beaverbrook Country Club. When we come back, we're going to talk about three tips to meet your customers' expectations on social media. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Do you need a great sign to promote your business or organization? Signs by Crown of Flemington is your local professional sign shop and can provide you with high-quality banners, lawn signs, vehicle graphics, pop-up displays, window graphics, wall lettering, magnets, and much more. Signs by Crown can help you with the design, layout, creation, and installation of your signs. Signs by Crown is located inside Crown Trophy at 33 Rayville Avenue in Flemington. Remember, if you have something to say, say it with a sign from Signs by Crown.
Hi, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, you have probably already gathered a lot of information. In a way, that is a little like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose in that you're no longer thirsty and at the same time are a little overwhelmed by all of the information that you have found. This is where I can be of help. As a local real estate market specialist, I can help you by understanding your objectives, showing you how to assemble that information that you've already found, supplementing it with highly accurate and timely data that I have access to, and assisting you in developing a strategy to turn your objectives into reality. Let's start by spending a few minutes over the telephone. Please give me a call at 908-238-0118 to get that process started. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, we should be talking now. Once again, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors at 908-238-0118. And you could also visit my site at my first initial J, my last name, Peters.com.
Business, every day, taking care of business, every way I've been taking care of business, it's all mine, taking care of business, and working overtime, working.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. Currently 12:21, 30 degrees here in the borough of Flemington. The temperature's starting to dip. The snow's starting to fall. Could be a fun one here today. Well, here's some tips on how to meet your customers' expectations on social media. And the one thing that I think a lot of people in business over a certain age, let's call it over the age of 35 or 40, seem to be ignoring is the importance of social media in their business. One of the things that we do all the time when a new customer comes in is we simply ask a question, how'd you hear about us? Because we want to see what works. We have television commercials out there. We're on the back of the ShopRite receipts. I just need to know what's working. And I don't think anybody in the last 4 years has ever said to me, well, I looked you up in the Yellow Pages. A lot of people will say that they Googled us, so we have to make sure that we're front of mind and you know, at the top of the list, which our corporate office does a great job of. But in social media, when you have a good message and or good product and people are starting to talk about you, that can gain you some traction that is absolutely invaluable. So if your brand is talking to your customers on social media, how do you know if you're living up to their expectations? How do you know that you're truly providing value to your customers? Now, brands often believe that social media is about applying the wittiest tone of voice and being the cool kid around the block by rewarding your customers with gifts. And that's not necessarily true. Social media engagement is all about being able to engage and reply in real time to your customers' issues and complaints. If not, customers will easily flock to a competitor. According to an immediate future report on real-time social media engagement, 51% of brands believe real-time social media engagement is their biggest challenge on social media. Always on, always connected customers demand quick and easy solutions on the fly to the issues they're dealing with on a daily basis. Now, unfortunately, brands can't live up to those expectations and are quickly losing customers, money, and time. So how can brands meet their customers' expectations? How can you rapidly take matters into your own hands? Well, here, let's take a look at these three options. First, reply to customer queries within the hour. Now, according to HubShout, 72% of customers expect brands to reply to them within an hour. In most cases, they simply want their voice to be heard. We're very sorry for the inconvenience and are dedicating all our efforts to find a solution to your problem. And that sounds like music to the ears. Just let them know that you care and apologize for the issue. Never forget that brands are just a quick online search away. And if brands don't provide a swift and timely reply, customers will easily feel uncared for. If you want to be able to reply within the hour, there's only one thing left to do. Get organized and get your act together. Make sure your social media team feels empowered enough to deal with heavy stress levels and knows what to do in a variety of scenarios, during a crisis, when dealing with complex questions, etc. Your employees truly are the backbone of any successful organization. Beyond your team, organize your incoming messages and structure the way you're going to reply. With the help of advanced monitoring and filtering and organizing your data through specific mailboxes, each social media team member will easily follow up on every incoming customer query. Number two, add context to a conversation. Customers don't want to go through too much hassle in order to get a solution to their problem. Plus, they want personalized, real conversation. It's often the case that large enterprises find it hard to make sense of these interactions. They fail to integrate and structure all of the information about their individual customers to help customize conversations and make them more relevant and authentic. Brands should be able to quickly identify and acknowledge their issues by scanning through customers' profiles. By collecting information about previous interactions, each new question can be put into a certain context. To make sure better sense of future interactions and rapidly solve problems, brands should be able to create well-rounded and complete profiles of their customers. Number three, collect up-to-date information in an online knowledge hub. Now, when it comes to responding in real time, brands need to be able to present customers with accurate information in a very dynamic and straightforward way. And that's why brand support centers or online knowledge hubs should be extensive and continuously updated in order for social media teams to easily find and pass on accurate information through relevant links to the right people. Customers don't want to be continuously redirected to internal specialists or outdated forms of static web pages. Customers simply demand timely, easy-to-consume information. How you handle complaints speaks volumes about your business. Therefore, customer feedback is crucial. Unfortunately, large enterprises are often clueless when it comes to the type of questions that customers frequently ask. So to optimize their products and services, brands must get a better hold on the issues that people struggle with. So in this instance, we're talking about social media as a form of customer service. We're doing a ton of research here at the program on how to do more in this in the way of social media marketing and creating that brand awareness using social media. We hope to have a few stories for you on that in the coming weeks. Well, we call the show Taking Care of Business, and what's frequently been a hot topic here is the interview process. And one of those processes is the dreaded phone interview. Well, there's seven ways that you can crush a phone interview, and we used to spend a ton of time preparing our candidates for the phone interview because this is going to be what gets you the invite to come to the home office for a meeting. So here's seven ways to literally crush a phone interview. Too often, well-qualified candidates will trip themselves up on the phone screen interview. At this stage, you're likely to deal with someone in human resources whose role is to pave the way for the hiring manager to decide which candidates to bring in for a more serious discussion. And he or she is tasked with gaining basic information about multiple candidates and then making initial judgments about personality, temperament, communication style, salary expectations, and more. So if you follow these tips, hopefully you'll have a successful outcome. The first is you have to prepare for every job transition, and you need to be able to explain that. Now, a human resources screener will likely want to have you walk them through your resume. So be sure to have a copy of the same resume nearby, unless you give signals that there's more than meets the eye. I was recruited, I left for greater responsibilities, or I was part of a larger company reorganization, are all you need to say in most instances as it pertains to why you would leave a company. Number two, prepare to explain everything on your resume. Any bullet point on your resume might pique the curiosity of the interviewer, so be prepared to give more detail, but don't take too much time on any one answer. After a few sentences, just simply ask, is this what you were after, or would you like me to go in a different direction or provide greater detail? Number three, understand that the interview isn't just about questions and answers. Your interviewer is likely trained to glean from your conversation your level of self-confidence, your personality, and your ability to communicate effectively. No matter what your prior situation may have been, you need to build trust in yourself and knowledge of your abilities from the ground up. Don't rush your answers or keep an even tone in your voice, but at the same time, do show your personality. Number four, understand the red flags and prepare to lower them. While you may be reticent to deal with issues like age, employment gaps, or frequent job hopping, you should understand that you can do a great deal to mitigate these issues when you address them head on. Just answer the question in a non-defensive, factual way. Pivot the conversation to something else and then move on. Number five, don't get flustered when uncomfortable questions arise. These big four questions almost always rear their heads in a phone screen in one way or another. Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your biggest strength or weakness. What are your salary expectations? And where do you expect to be in 5 years? There are numerous articles that will help you answer these and similar questions, so review them and practice your answers many times so it sounds like you were the one who wrote those articles. Number six, do your homework and prepare great questions for you to ask. You will likely be given the opportunity to ask questions and use it to show your enthusiasm for the position. Ask about this or that aspect of the job, or ask about how you would be able to use X in your background to do Y. Never use this as an opportunity to ask about their process, start dates, salary, benefits, or anything else that they can do for you. Number seven, you have to control your environment. Always arrange to be in a quiet, well-lit room, free from distractions. Sit in a chair with relevant materials in front of you. Give your sole, focused attention to your interviewer, and whenever possible, make sure you're on a landline rather than on a shaky cell connection. I can't tell you how many times when we were doing phone screens with candidates, there would be dogs barking in the background. You could hear televisions. You could hear teapots going off. There was always something going on, and it kind of made us feel as if there was never that full 100% attention being paid to us. And if you were going to act that way with the recruiter, very often we felt you'd probably be doing the same thing with the hiring manager, and that just scared us to death when it came time to present you to the company. When we come back, we're going to talk about the four things that people are doing that are creating the worst financial blunders of the 21st century for them. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be right back.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. A peace agreement has been reached for eastern Ukraine, but it is not clear if all parties agree to the terms. After 16 hours of talks, a ceasefire is supposed to start Sunday. Heavy weapons will be removed from the front lines. AP correspondent Natalia Vasilieva reports some significant questions not covered in the deal remain unanswered.
The details of the agreements are open to various interpretations. For example, it's clear that President Putin and Ukrainian President Poroshenko have disagreed on how to end fighting at the key flashpoint, which throws the entire agreement into doubt. However, European leaders were optimistic.
Russia and Ukraine disagreed over the status of a key town under rebel siege and whether rebel groups will be given autonomy. The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits jumped last week. The Labor Department says applications rose by 25,000. This is USA Radio News.
Attention credit card customers who may have spent a little too much this holiday season, putting them into credit card debt. Every 3 minutes, another person falls further into credit card debt, and many credit card companies have nearly doubled their minimum monthly payment. Now people can barely afford to keep up, but we have great news. Thanks to a powerful program, anyone with $2,000 or more in credit card debt can cut their credit card payments up to half and reduce or eliminate interest charges altogether. We are a nationwide nonprofit helping U.S. residents cut their credit card payments for 20 years. Call 800-975-9016. The call and information are free.
I cut my payment by over $600 and saved over $25,000 in interest.
We've helped over 300,000 people eliminate their credit card debt, and now we can help you. Call 800-975-9016 to see how this powerful nonprofit program can work for you. Get free of credit card debt today. Call 800-975-9016. That's 800-975-9016. Again, 800-975-9016.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy, Signs by Crown, Crown Custom Apparel, and whatever the heck else we do, Crown Varsity Jackets and Crown Promotional. Glad you could join me for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Taking a look at the weather. Well, the word cold is going to take on a whole new meaning this weekend. And today it'll be cloudy with snow showers throughout the early afternoon, a high of 37 degrees. Tonight it'll start to clear, but it'll be windy and much colder with a low of just 6 degrees. For tomorrow it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 18 degrees and a low of 5. For Saturday it'll be mostly sunny with intermittent clouds and a chance of snow, a high of 31 and a low of 11. For Sunday it'll be cloudy with a high of just 17 degrees and a low of 0 degrees. And the cold will continue straight through to Monday, just in time for more snow on Tuesday. So, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but it is time to bring out the extra blankets, and it is going to be bitter cold here over the next several days. Well, we talked before the break about the four worst financial blunders of the 21st century that people are creating, and thrifty people know the basic do's and don'ts of getting ahead. Stick with a budget, spend within your means, don't overuse debt. Let the Joneses keep up with themselves. But some important things have changed in the economy during recent years, and there are new rules for success that nobody's announced. Now, in Rick Newman's new book, Liberty for All, he describes the growing importance of self-reliance, resilience, and entrepreneurship as prerequisites for success. It's also important to avoid new pitfalls much of the middle class risks falling into. These are four mistakes that weren't such a problem 10 or 20 years ago, but can lead to awful setbacks today. Number one, overestimating your value as a worker. The traditional career path is one on which you consistently climb higher, and you get paid more. But that model doesn't work for a lot of people anymore because the skills required to earn a good living change faster than ever in our technology-driven economy. Many people changing jobs or looking for a new one after getting laid off assume their pay should be at least equivalent to whatever they were making before. Millions have endured this unhappy surprise. You're not worth what you thought you were. One of the biggest weaknesses in the economy, in fact, is that employers are now creating plenty of jobs, but they pay less than the jobs of a decade ago. Number two, falling into the pay gap trap can be ruinous for families with little margin for error. Now, here's how to stay out of it. Make the conservative assumption that your pay will go up and down over the course of your career, rather than rising consistently until you retire. Learn how to live while saving 20 or 30% of your income, rather than the typical 5 or 10% that some financial advisors say should be enough. Force yourself to learn a relevant new skill every year or two, even if it's a seemingly superfluous one, such as mastering social media. If you prepare for your own obsolescence, it's less likely that it will happen. Number 3, getting comfortable and living a life of comfort. A sizable home, plush car, cushy job, familiar routine is synonymous with prosperity, but it can also breed complacency, which can be deadly if it blinds you to the need for change. Technology disruptors in Silicon Valley and elsewhere have put a bullseye on any profession, company, or industry that can be revolutionized by software or machines that get the job done faster, cheaper, or better. That means anybody who feels that they can sit back and relax in their career better have earned an ironclad job security or a hefty rainy day fund. Nobody needs to be paranoid, but healthy respect for the financial risks you can't foresee will prevent overspending on homes and cars and other boneheaded moves that make you vulnerable. Number 4, trying to live like your parents. Somewhere during the last century or so, we got the idea that every generation had the right to a better standard of living than their parents. And that's how we define progress in a free market economy. But we've made the mistake of interpreting progress as ever more stuff, which can only afford by taking on more debt since incomes are no longer rising at the healthy pace they were during prior decades. It's time to redefine how we measure progress. Instead of bigger homes and spiffier cars and the loan payments that usually come with them, maybe it's a simpler lifestyle with lower bills and more freedom to try new things. It pays to be more entrepreneurial these days, so it might be more important to save for a business idea than for a mortgage down payment. It's also crucial to have the flexibility to go where the opportunity is, which means agility and mobility trump the comfort of hunkering down for years in a place of your own. Stay hungry and stay foolish is a Silicon Valley saying popularized by the late Steve Jobs, and it applies to the rest of America too. And number 5, giving up. There's a crisis of quitting going on in America. The portion of adults either working or looking for work is at the lowest level since 1978. There are more women in the labor force now than there were then, but the percentage of adult men participating in the labor force at 69% is the lowest since the government started tracking the measure back in 1948. And those economic dropouts aren't retiring early to live on a fat pension or inheritance. Too many workers have simply given up when faced with a demanding job market that doesn't seem to reward whatever they do. Giving up is obviously one option, but a tougher overall economy doesn't mean decline is inevitable for any given individual. There's still a lot of opportunity in America and beyond, and those who find it are the ones who compile skills like Monopoly properties. They go where the action is, and they stay ready for something new, whether they choose it or simply confront it. You can still live better than your parents if you prepare for tomorrow's economy today and leave yesterday's behind. So some good information there as it pertains to folks that are trying to define, and I've had this conversation with several people, like what defines success, and for some it's I have a vacation home, for others it's I have a boat, for others it's putting their kids through college. But when people are comparing themselves to, you know, what their parents had or did, very often you find that you fall woefully short in today's economy. All right, currently it's 12:39, 30 degrees here in Flemington, and it's time to take a look at an interesting story that I found. Over the years, I've mentioned a couple of TV shows that I suggest that if you're in business that you watch. We'll go through a brief list here now. First, and I believe it comes back in just a couple of weeks, is The Profit with Marcus Lemonis on CNBC. Here, Marcus comes in and turns around struggling businesses. He usually ends up buying the businesses and then manages them. But it's just great to see how he can find the troubles with business, what's holding the business owners back, and why they can't grow. So that's an excellent show. A show as simple as Pawn Stars is great to see the negotiation skills that take place between Rick and his customers. We've talked about watching either The Apprentice or The Celebrity Apprentice for how people work in teams. I love watching the show Undercover Boss because, first, I'm always disillusioned by how little the people in the top positions within their companies know about what it's like to work in the field. A great example of this was just a couple of weeks ago when a business that had been franchised, when he went out into the franchises, had no clue what it's like to be out there on the front lines every day. And then my other favorite, pop the popcorn, grab your favorite beverage, is to watch Shark Tank. And this is where entrepreneurs will come into a studio called the Shark Tank and meet with billionaire investors to pitch their idea in the hope that the investors will then help invest in their companies. And several of these businesses have gone on to great profitability. For instance, Kevin O'Leary had invested in a company called Groovebook. Groovebook was just sold to Shutterfly for $14 million. But a lot of people say that Kevin O'Leary, whose nickname on the show is Mr. Wonderful, is just plain mean. And so he's taken the time to explain why he's so mean to entrepreneurs on the show. So investor Kevin O'Leary never refrains from yelling at or mocking an entrepreneur that's pitching him. And in a recent episode of Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary holds a Bev Boy, a floatable drink koozie, and tells its inventor, Kevin Waltermeyer, that it's poo-poo on a stick. He says, "Your name is Kevin. My name is Kevin," O'Leary told Waltermeyer. "I'm officially stripping you of your name because this idea is so bad. It is so bad you don't deserve the name Kevin. You are now called Zonk." And for the rest of the show, he just referred to him as Zonk. He goes, "I'm sorry, man. I'm out. This product sucks." Now, O'Leary's demeaning comments to entrepreneurs provide some of the most entertaining moments on the show, and he's fully embraced the role of the mean, sarcastic guy, a staple of many competitive reality shows. But O'Leary told Business Insider magazine that he stopped noticing the cameras years ago. He says he strategically adds venom to some of his critiques. He said, "I'm trying to test the mettle of those entrepreneurs, because if they think it's tough in the Shark Tank, wait until they get out in the real world. If they can't take a guy like me, then they're not ready. Maybe people think I'm bullying them, and that's not true. I'm the only guy there who tells the truth all the time. I don't care about your feelings. I care about your money. I look at business as binary. Either you make money or you lose money." Fellow shark Barbara Corcoran is by no means a pushover when it comes to investing, but she usually prefers to cushion her critiques unless she feels wronged by entrepreneurs or unless they're, quote, rich kids. O'Leary, on the other hand, says being polite gives false hope to failing entrepreneurs, which could actually be meaner than compelling them to give up or shape up. "I say to Barbara all the time, why are you so worried about their feelings? Who cares? If the business has no merit and it's a bankrupt idea, they're going to fail anyways. You're doing them a huge favor if you're telling them the truth," O'Leary said. And if he insults an entrepreneur and is objectively wrong about his assessment, he explains, he wants them to debate him and tell him why he's wrong. He also says there's a difference between times he's aggressive and when he's genuinely angry. He saves his anger for the Shark Tank business owners who are arrogant yet ignorant about major flaws in their companies or products. "It frustrates me miserably because they've just wasted my time and they wasted the opportunity in the Shark Tank that somebody else would have begged to have had," O'Leary says. "I'm extremely harsh on people like that, and for good reason in my view." Anytime O'Leary calls an entrepreneur a cockroach or says that their product sucks, he's making great television, but he's also just acting on his business philosophy. He says, "I'm not trying to make friends. I'm trying to make money. It's that simple." So now you know the secret behind Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, and a lot of times you can learn a lot just from watching the negotiations. How would, if you had to pitch your business or your product to an investor, would you be able to do it? Would you be able to answer the business questions that they're asking? When they talk about cost of acquisition of a new client or how much it costs to make a product. And they're boiling it down not just from the cost of material, but how much is the labor? How much is the rent? A lot of times business owners don't look that far into it, and then they wonder why they're losing money down the road. When we come back, we're going to talk about six everyday changes that businesses can make to dramatically empower their employees. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors.
If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, you have probably already gathered a lot of information. In a way, that is a little like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose, in that you're no longer thirsty, and at the same time are a little overwhelmed by all of the information that you have found. This is where I can be of help. As a local real estate market specialist, I can help you by understanding your objectives, showing you how to assemble that information that you've already found, supplementing it with highly accurate and timely data that I have access to, and assisting you in developing a strategy to turn your objectives into reality. Let's start by spending a few minutes over the telephone. Please give me a call at 908-238-0118 to get that process started. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, we should be talking now. Once again, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors at 908-238-0118. And you could also visit my site at my first initial J, my last name, Peters.com.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for about the next 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'll turn it over to Trish. So what about the six everyday changes that businesses can make to dramatically empower their employees? Now, companies constantly underutilize their talent every day, and that's why 70% of U.S. workers are not engaged at work, and that's the suggestion made by Gallup's State of the American Workplace report. Human capital management firm ADP also revealed that the average company loses $2,246 per disengaged employee every year. Disengaged employees are expensive, and furthermore, they are less productive. ADP adds, engaged employees are not only 57% more effective, they're also 87% less likely to leave your company. Fortunately, the smallest changes can have the most profound impact on a company and its stakeholders. So to cultivate a better workforce and re-engage employees, here are six lightweight strategies which might have a heavy impact on company culture and the firm's bottom line. Number one, consistently recognize contributions. The phrases thank you and good job seem trivial, but they are not. So develop a habit of employee appreciation and see how team members reciprocate. According to human resource consulting and services company OC Tanner, 87% of employees who receive strong performance recognition will proactively seek new ways to improve efficiency. On average, the most recognized team members also generate three new ideas each month, which help improve their company. On the other hand, employees who receive weak performance recognition only develop 1.8% of productive new ideas and improve their efficiency by 54% of the time. If saying job well done seems insincere and too mundane, here are some creative ways to recognize employees. When was the last time you gave your employees a spa day or sent them to a game? Number two, encourage experimentation, calculated risk, and early learnings. When companies offer freedom and flexibility to teams, it pays dividends. Gmail and Google News are just two shiny examples of what results when employees may budget 20% of their time on projects they think will help further the company's long-term goals. Naturally, not all of the ideas that spawn from Google's 20% time program were winners. For example, Orkut and Google Reader, and more recently Google Glass, crashed and burned. But by backing the most promising ideas, Google was able to develop products that users continue to use every day and sunset others gracefully. Without a strong emphasis on building new tools for the future, Google would be a firm that constantly asks the helpless and hopeful question, what if? Shelley Archambault, who's the CEO of Governance, Risk, and Compliance Software at MetricStream, knows the benefits of encouraging employees to take smart risk. In a blog post for Exconomy, Archambault shares a few points worth noting. Risk-taking is critical to a culture of innovation. Risk-taking builds employee confidence. Risk-taking spawns new ideas for revenue growth. To cultivate a forward-thinking, happy, and productive environment, businesses need to loosen internal regulations and allocate sufficient budget and time to allow employees to conceive, construct, and complete bold projects that are business-changing. Number three, provide relevant growth opportunities. Workers are not selfless. While the most engaged employees may be committed to the success of their employer, they may find it hard to stay motivated if they're not rewarded accordingly. So to empower and retain the best team members, firms must actively help workers realize their full potential. For Forbes, founder and principal of Howling Wolf Management Training, Victor Lipman, listed four types of growth organizations can offer, and they are financial growth, career growth, professional growth, and personal growth. The trick is knowing which opportunity to present employees and when. Lipman adds, some growth opportunities appeal more to certain employee groups than to others. Once a firm understands which areas of growth matter to its personnel, it can effectively leverage its human resources. Employees perform best when the environment is conducive to growth, says Lipman. That, in turn, benefits employers, too. Number four, put everything into perspective. The least engaged workers are siloed in departments, left to fulfill functional goals only. Empowered employees have a holistic purview of the goals and needs of a business. In the corporate landscape, many employees aren't given enough business context to be able to spot or distinguish threats and opportunities, writes Natalie Lair, who's the director of analytics at TSC Advantage for Harvard Business Review. They're unable or unwilling to make critical decisions without being told what to do, and that inability to act decisively can be crippling. Team members who recognize the revenue and cost implications of certain initiatives would hold themselves more accountable for the work they do and can make better informed recommendations to help their company grow. They will act less disenfranchised, like less disenfranchised employees, and more like business owners. Number five, regularly alleviate unnecessary burdens and remove obstacles. The fact is, unnecessary roadblocks quickly kill innovation. Firms that break down barriers to collaboration have a more fulfilled and successful workforce. Corporate hierarchies make it difficult for even the most well-intentioned workers to accomplish meaningful projects without a sign-off from senior management. While a good system of checks and balances is required for some companies to run smoothly, especially in regulated industries, it is inexcusable to have review procedures marred by inefficiencies. A majority of personnel simply do not have the authority or clearance to see their ideas through to completion. Therefore, companies must help their staff to navigate approval processes to deliver change. And number six, support skills development, refinement, and discovery. To have the best talent, companies may hire the most qualified candidates, but the most empowered, loyal, and productive employees are developed from within the company. Businesses that offer tuition assistance programs such as Apple, Ford, and Procter & Gamble demonstrate their commitment to continuous employee education. In an increasingly competitive world, people who stop improving their existing skills and never learn new ones fall behind. For small businesses, reimbursing coursework may be costly. Alternatively, companies can recommend a list of free or affordable massive open online courses or MOOCs employees may attend. Sites that host quality MOOCs include Coursera, edX, and Udemy. To empower employees, businesses need to change their everyday behaviors. Team members will reciprocate regular recognition with new ideas that may help the company. Flexible budgets for safe experimentation may produce profitable outcomes, and employers that offer opportunities for growth actively motivate employees. With enough business context, workers begin acting more like company owners, but for employees to be effective change agents, firms need to break down barriers which hinder progress. And finally, organizations that support continuing education nurture quality talent. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. Glad you could join us once again. Jeff Bezos, who is the chairman of Amazon.com, recently shared his best advice to entrepreneurs, and he founded Amazon.com in July of 1995 with just 10 employees and few sales. Within 2 months, Bezos and his team had customers in 45 countries in all 50 states and sales of $20,000 a week. In May of 1997, Amazon went public with a $500 million valuation. Today, Amazon has a market cap of $172 billion and sells nearly anything a customer can think of at low prices and fast shipping speeds. In addition to hosting a cloud computing platform worth over $3 billion, it continues to grow. Bezos is an example of an exponential entrepreneur. According to serial tech entrepreneur and XPRIZE CEO Peter Diamandis and Flow Genome Project founder Stephen Kotler, authors of the new book Bold, How to Go Big, Create Wealth, and Impact the World, they attribute his success to both long-term thinking and a customer-centric attitude. Diamandis writes that he had a chance to speak with Bezos at the TED 2014 conference, and asked him what advice he would give to aspiring exponential entrepreneurs, those looking to build a business that can grow tenfold annually. Bezos said, "It's so hard to catch something that everybody already knows is hot. Instead, position yourself and wait for the wave to come to you." So then you ask, position myself where? Position yourself with something that captures your curiosity, something that you're missionary about. He tells people that when he acquires companies, I'm always trying to figure out, is this person who leads this company a missionary or a mercenary? The missionary is building the product and building the service because they love the customer, because they love the product, because they love the service. The mercenary is building the product or service so that they can flip the company and make money. One of the great paradoxes is that the missionaries end up making more money than the mercenaries anyway. And so pick something that you are passionate about. That's his number one piece of advice. And on that point, Diamandis tells Business Insider, there are people who are lucky and who hit it out of the park on their first shot. And that's great. But unless you've been driven by your passion and purpose, you'll give up before you succeed. And so fundamentally, passion and purpose trumps everything. Currently 12:56, you're listening to Taking Care of Business. As always, we're very glad that you could join us here today. Just taking a look at what else we have for you, and the stories are just way too long to get into. Next week, we're going to talk about 7 startup metrics that all entrepreneurs must track. That's a very telling article. What employers are looking for in older workers. So anybody over the age of 50 may want to tune in to that story. And then we're also going to be talking about how to ace any interview and land the job of your dreams. And it seems that a lot of interviewing has changed the way companies are doing it. There's actually a thing now called group interviewing where they bring in 5 or 6 candidates all vying for the same position. And it's how you can position yourself ahead of the rest of the pack, so to speak, that will separate you and get you to the next level of interviewing. So we'll talk about that. And, of course, we'll have more information on interview techniques and social media as well. In sports, in college basketball, before we get to the top 10 standings that we do every week, we're saddened by the passing of 2 great coaches from North Carolina. Dean Smith passed away over the weekend, and Jerry Tarkanian of UNLV, the Running Rebels, also passed away this week. The AP top 10 shakes out like this. Kentucky holds the top spot, followed by Virginia, Gonzaga, Duke, and Wisconsin holding down the top 5 positions, while Villanova, Arizona, Kansas, Louisville, and Notre Dame round out the top 10. In golf, Tiger Woods has announced yesterday that he will be taking some time off and will not return to the PGA Tour until he feels his game is back where he feels he needs it to be. And in NASCAR news, there are just 10 days until the Daytona 500. Of course, I can't wait. Pole qualifying will begin tonight, and then you have the twin 150s over the weekend. Well, I'm your host, Jim Gannot. This has been another edition of Taking Care of Business. As always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGannot83, or on Facebook. I'll talk to you again next week for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I'll be taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business. And working overtime will help.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. A peace agreement has been reached for eastern Ukraine, but it is not clear if all parties agree to the terms. After 16 hours of talks, a ceasefire is supposed to start Sunday. Heavy weapons will be removed from the front lines. AP correspondent Natalia Vasilieva reports some significant